I appreciate that special. We've got a lot of praising to look forward to. Isn't it hard to imagine a million years and we've just begun? We've seen 10,000 years, we've just begun. A million years, we've just begun. Years won't matter there. We'll be forever with the one who died for us and rose again. What a wonderful thought this morning. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 this morning. We've been learning about stewarding our life. We understand that our life is a gift from God. Every breath that we take belongs to Him, and we ought to give that back to Him in service. We've talked about stewarding our time because time is the stuff life is made of, and we ought to steward our time for the Lord. We ought to give our time to Him. He ought to be the first thought of the day. He ought to be every thought during the day, the last thought before we go to sleep. And Christ is not a fire escape to just get us out of hell, and then we go about our business however we want to. He is our life, and we ought to give our time to Him. We've talked about giving our temple to Him. The Bible says that you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that is in you? And our bodies are His, and we ought to steward our health for the glory of God. So our time and our temple. Last week we talked about our treasures, that we want to steward the resources financially that God has given us for His glory. We talked a little bit about tithes and offerings, but really it's not about a percentage, it's about our heart. It's about understanding that God has given us everything that we have, and we ought to use what God has given us for His glory. And when the offering plate comes around, you're not giving to the preacher, you're not even really giving to the church, you're giving to the Lord through the church. And we give our treasures for Him. So our time, our treasures, the temple, our body, all of those things we need to steward, not spend, not squander, but steward, invest them for the glory of God. And today, I want to talk to you about stewarding your talents for the Lord. Now, when we think about talents in the Bible, we automatically think of the parable of the talents. And I want to make sure you understand this, that when Jesus gave the parable of the talents, and each man, the master, the Lord, gave them talents according to his several ability, he gave them talents, and he went away, and he expected them to invest, to trade, to do business with those talents until he came back. And when he came back, there would be a time of reckoning. Is everybody with me so far? Now, we understand we talk about talents today. We talk about people's abilities. Now, talents in that parable is a measure of money. As a matter of fact, the talent was a goodly sum of money. And so he gave them different amounts of money to steward well while he was away. He expected them to invest them. Now, we need to do that with our treasures, our money. But we understand that there's a greater application that does apply to the way we use talents today. When we talk about talents, we're not talking about money. We're talking about abilities. And we want to use the abilities, the gifts that God has given us for His glory. And before we get into the text, I want everybody to hear this. Because some of you would say today, I don't have any talent. Some of you today in seeming great humility, would say, I don't have any abilities. There's nothing I can do. I have nothing to give to the Lord. And I want you to understand this today. That's not real humility. That's false humility that is actually born from pride. And you need to be careful because God has given to every man severally as he will according to his ability. Listen to me. God has gifted every child of God with abilities and talents to use for the glory of God. And if you sit here today and say that you have no talent, no ability, nothing to give back to God, you are calling God a liar. Your talents may not be the same as somebody else's talents. Your abilities are different than other people's abilities. And that's the way God designed it to be. I can't do everything that you can do. And you can't do some of the things that I can do. But when all of us do what God has gifted us to do, then we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I believe that God has given me the ability to stand in front of people and preach the Word of God. I believe that's a gift from God. There are others in this church that are gifted with administration, with the ability to organize and to set things in order and do those types of things. That is not my gift. I'm not gifted in organization. All you got to do is look in my truck right now, and you would understand that organization is not my gift. But other people in the church are gifted with organization. They are gifted with those things. And guess what? We have to work together to get things done. Because somebody's got to stand up and preach, and somebody's got to keep things orderly. See, it's very practical, isn't it? But let me tell you something. This local church is the body of Christ, and every member has been gifted with abilities, and we ought to use those abilities. If we don't, we are a disabled body. Some of you are dealing with disabilities. Some of you have body parts that don't work like they're supposed to. You can't hear like you should be able to. You can't see like you should be able to. Maybe you can't walk like you should be able to. And there's things in your body that don't work right. And you understand how that hinders you. Well, friends, in the church, God has gifted all of us so that the body can work together, fitly joined together, supplied by that which every joint supplies, so that we can do the work God's called us to do. And if I don't do my part and you don't do your part, we're going to hinder the work of the Lord. So we need to just from the get-go this morning understand God has gifted everyone. Everyone has talents and abilities. None of our abilities and talents are the same, but however God has gifted us, we need to figure it out and use it for His glory. Amen? Amen. That's the message. You want me to stop now? Too bad. Let's stand together. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. The Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you have given your Word to us, that we can know it, we can understand it, we can live by it. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts today that we would do good for your honor and your glory. Lord, we know that we are not saved by our works, but we are saved to work. And I pray you convict our hearts today that we would find out how you've gifted us, how you've given us talents and abilities, and that we would develop and use those talents and abilities for your glory in the body, the local church. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd forgive our sin, convict our hearts, and help us today. Lord, you have done everything for us. And it only makes sense that we would give everything back to you. Please help us today. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that your will would be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We all have our place in the local church. Now, before we can get to this, where he talks about the members and the body and all of those things, we've got to get to this. You're not part of the church unless you've been baptized into the church, and you're not part of the church and been baptized into the church until you're saved. So it all starts with salvation. I want you to back up, if you would, to the end of chapter 11. And just look at verse 33 through 36. Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, who hath been first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And that's the end of chapter 11 that brings us into chapter 12, where he says, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's he talking about, the mercy of God? Friends, we understand today that what we deserve is eternal separation from God, because we are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we often ask, how many lies have you ever told? Have you ever stolen anything? You disobeyed your parents? You looked with lust? And have you ever blasphemed the name of God? And we go through all of those things to show that we are guilty before God. But even if all we ever did was sin one time, the Bible says if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. The reality is we're guilty before God. You know, when I talk to people out in our community and I ask them, would you consider yourself to be a good person? It's saved people who say no. Saved people are like, no, I'm not a good person. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. Lost people declare their own righteousness. Lost people say, oh yeah, I'm a good person. Well, do you think you've kept the commandments? And most of them, if they know anything, go, well, probably not perfectly. And guys, that's exactly the standard that God holds us to, is perfection, to absolutely keep the law of God perfectly. And none of us have done that. From the first man, Adam, all the way down to us, none of us have kept the law of God perfectly. All of us are guilty before God. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was perfectly obedient in every way. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Friends, that's the mercies we're talking about. That's why all things are of him and through him and to him. Everything is God's. Everything is from him. Everything comes to us through him. And everything is to go back to him in honor and glory. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about stewarding everything that he gives us for his glory. Everything. And so he says we need to be surrendered. Before we can ever discover our talents and develop them, deploy them for the service of God, we've first got to be surrendered. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in verse 1, by the mercies of God. Friend, I want you to think about the mercy of God today. I want you to think about what you deserve and what I deserve and where we would be if it weren't for Christ. Friends, we ought to thank God for his mercy today. God has not given us what we deserve. And many of you have taken this practice, and I think it's good as long as it's real from our heart. How are you doing today? Far better than I deserve. Well, we ought to be reminded of that. And it ought to just be words that we say. It ought to be something real from our heart. I deserve to be separated from God forever. I deserve to burn in the lake of fire. I deserve the wrath of God on me. I deserve the condemnation that I justly deserve. But friends, he has given me mercy. I'm not condemned. I'm not separated. I've been brought near to God. I am a child of God, a joint heir with Christ. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been given life everlasting, freedom from sin. I'm forgiven. And by those mercies, I plead with you, give your life to Jesus. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Friends, this is backwards. Sacrifices weren't living. Sacrifices died. If it's a sacrifice, you choose the lamb, the very, very best lamb, without spot, without blemish. You give God your best, and they take that very perfect lamb, the very best that you have, and you know what they do? They slit its throat, and they drain its blood, and they cut it into pieces, and they burn it on the altar. That's a sacrifice. And so when God says, present your body a living sacrifice, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. The sacrifice bled. The sacrifice was cut up. The sacrifice was burnt. But the point is this. We're to die to self. We're to die to self. The old man is crucified with Christ. We are dead to sin. We are dead to the flesh. We are dead to the things of this world. And we give our lives to God. Because we're motivated by His mercy. We're moved by His incredible love for us. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pure, acceptable unto God. You see, I'm afraid, friends, in our churches today, we've gotten away from this. We're concerned about what's acceptable to man, but He says, no. I want to be what's acceptable to God. Let me help you out. Don't base what you find acceptable or unacceptable in your life. Don't base it on a thread on Facebook where somebody says something and it sets up a firestorm and people are arguing back and forth. And by the way, a lot of times people make a lot of good biblical points here and there, and a lot of it's just people's opinions and all these different things. Listen, let's forget about what's acceptable to everybody on Facebook and let's find out what's acceptable to God. Holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service, friends. It only makes sense that we would give everything to God. What doesn't make sense is somebody saying, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say this prayer, and they say a prayer, and then they go on and live however they want to. They don't worship God. They don't serve God. They're not faithful in church. They don't read their Bible. They're not a witness to other people. They don't pray. They're not walking with God. That doesn't make sense. That's unreasonable. And no wonder people look at Christians and go, I don't get it. In America today, there is no discernible difference in the lives of lost people and the lives of saved people. You look at the average church member in our country today, there's no difference in the way that they live, the way that they talk, the way that they walk, the way that they dress, the movies they watch, the music they listen to. Their lives are no different. And that is not reasonable. We got to be surrendered, friends. We got to give our lives up. We got to lay it all down because He laid it all down for us. The love of Christ constraineth us. That was our theme verse for this week at camp. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus Christ died for everybody because we were all dead. And that ought to constrain us. That ought to compel us. That ought to move us to live for Him. That He died for all. That we which are alive, we which live, ought to henceforth not live unto ourselves, but live unto Him who died for us, who gave Himself for us, who died and rose again. We ought to give our lives to Him. So we're surrendered. Then we're transformed. Look at verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, again, will of God. What's acceptable to God? Be not conformed. That means we don't pretend to be like the world. By the way, when somebody's really born again, but they live a worldly life, they're pretending to be something they're not. You're masquerading. You're putting on a mask. You're fake. It's not real. Christians who live worldly lives are lying. That's not who we are. And He says, don't be conformed. Don't masquerade. Don't pretend to be worldly when you're not, but rather be transformed. Let your mind be metamorphosized, completely changed from one thing to another by the Word of God in your mind. So we're surrendered and we're transformed. Why? So that we can prove, so we can demonstrate the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And when we are surrendered to the will of God, giving our lives to Him, and when we are transformed by the Word of God in our mind, then it results in us demonstrating a changed life, demonstrating what it really means to be born again. And no, None of us are perfect, but we can be dramatically changed, completely transformed by the Word of God. I don't know if all of you are awake enough to have this discussion today, but how many of you have ever seen somebody's life that was radically changed by the gospel? I'm talking about radically changed. Let me tell you something. If you're truly born again, your life ought to be radically changed. And I get it. If you're a church kid and you get saved when you're seven and you never really get out in the world, there may not be those dramatic changes that are so visible to everybody. But let me tell you something. What happened in you is dramatic. What happened in you is radical. What happened in you is miraculous. What happened in you is something that only the Spirit of God can do. We ought to be surrendered, transformed, and we ought to be humbled. Look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm glad we don't have that problem. I'm glad that we think of ourselves just what we ought to think. Right? Let me help you out with this. I think one of the best ways for us to judge how we see ourselves is to pay attention to how we see others. Atheist's favorite verse in the Bible is "Judge not." They know that verse better than we know John 3:16. Judge not. Bible says not to judge others. Don't judge. Don't judge. Well, by the way, the Bible goes on to say judge righteous judgment. We are supposed to judge between right and wrong, but they're right. We shouldn't judge in the sense that we're looking down on other people, that we think we're better than others. And if we're honest today, we do that. We not only say what they're doing is sin, we think we're better than them because of their sin. And he says here not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let me help you out. We shouldn't think highly of ourselves at all. There's no good thing in me. Whatever righteousness I have, it's because Christ is in me. It's because of Him. I have no righteousness of my own. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I will never be anything without Jesus Christ. And so don't think of yourself, but think soberly. Think seriously. In other words, get real. Seriously evaluate yourself. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He goes on to say, all members have not the same office. He says, being many, we are one body in Christ and everyone members of another. And we ought to be surrendered. We ought to be transformed and we ought to be humbled because we're not here for us. We're not here for us. We're here for Christ. And we serve Christ by serving others. Listen to me. We serve Christ by serving others. We honor Christ by preferring and honoring others before ourselves. We love Christ by loving others. This is how it works. And friends, we get so focused on ourselves, we only think about ourselves. We want what we want, and we want it right now. But let me tell you, Christianity is not Burger King. It's not about you having it your way. It's about God having it His way. We need to be surrendered, transformed, humbled, and we need to be dedicated. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses, says, let us do this and let us do that. We are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by our good works. But we are saved unto good works. Check it out. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2, verse 8. I want you to see this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now it's grace, right? That's unmerited favor. That's something God gives us that we don't deserve. It's, you can't earn it. It's not a reward. It's a free gift. And it's by grace, but it happens through faith. When you repent of your sin and you trust in Christ alone, he saves you. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know for sure when you die you'll go to heaven? Yes. How do you know? Well, because I'm a good person. I try to do what's right. I try to do good by others. I hear it almost every week that I've been here for the last, I don't know how many years, since I've been saved and never talked to anybody about the gospel. I hear it all the time because of what I do. And they may say it in different ways, but what they're saying is, because of my works, because I do good, I'm going to go to heaven, and they couldn't be more wrong. Why? Lest any man should boast. And what are they doing when I stand on their doorstep and they say, well, I've done this and I do that and I try to do good and I'm good and I go to church and I do this and I do that. And it's all about what they do. They're boasting of their works. And they will not get into heaven by their works. And neither will you. It's by his grace, through faith in his son, that we're saved, not of works. I don't know how God could say it any more plain. Listen to me, friends. This is important, and it's vitally important you get this. Muldrow, America has more people going to heaven based on their works than any place I've ever been in my life. I'm not kidding. I haven't gone that far, friends. I grew up in Braggs. I moved all the way to Vian, and from Vian to Muldrow. It's not like I've gone lots of places. I lived in Muskogee for a while, but I want you to get this. It's not like I've got this broad spectrum around the world. I'm talking about a very small area of Oklahoma, and I've never seen so many people going to heaven because of their good works. We have a problem in this town. People think they're good. People think their works are going to get them to heaven. And friends, their works are just good enough to get them to hell. And it ought to break our hearts. And we say it. Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, she's a really good lady. Good for what? Good for what? If the grace of God isn't on them through faith in Christ, they're not good. So we're it's not by works. I'm talking to you today about doing works for the Lord in the church, and I've got to get through this before I can get to that. Okay? It's vital that we get this. Because if I start talking to you about how you need to work and serve and do good in the church and do good works, and I start talking about, some of you are going to get it in your head that that's what saves us, and you couldn't be more wrong. So I got to be really, really careful that we get this. It's by his mercies. It's by his grace. It's all from him and through him and to him. It's not us at all. It's all him. Everybody with me now? Not of works, lest any man should boast. But check out verse 10. We usually don't go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Check this out. When you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. You're born again. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. He doesn't just give you salvation. He makes you saved. He changes you from the inside out. It's not just like he gives you a present, a little box. He just gives it to you and says, hold on to this. Don't drop it. No, he changes who you are. He puts the seed of his Holy Spirit inside of you, and it will never, ever, 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 ever go away. Isn't that good? What if I mess up? What do you mean, if? You mean when you mess up. We're a new creature in Christ. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wait a minute, I thought you said works didn't have anything to do with it. Works do not save us. Works do not save us. But when he saves us for a purpose. And that's to surrender our lives to his service. That's to work for his glory. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And look at this. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you know from eternity past God knew who would come to him in faith and who wouldn't? And did you know that from eternity past God ordained that those who would come to him in faith in Christ would work for him? This is amazing for me to think about today, friends. God knew you'd be sitting in this sanctuary this morning. As a matter of fact, he knew exactly what spot you'd be sitting in. He knew exactly what I'd preach before I ever even prayed about it. He knew the words that would come out of my mouth before I even thought them. And all of it is before ordained. Why? So that we could walk in good works. Not so that we can be saved, but because we are saved. Now, some of you guys get this, and I say it so often. You're like, we get it, preacher. Just go on. Go on. We understand. Move on. But friends, I can't tell you how important it is that you understand this truth. We do not serve him to be saved. We serve him because we are saved. But when we are saved, we should serve him. It is only reasonable. And this is hard. It's hard because there are so many people that think they're going to be good enough to get to heaven. And so we have to shy away from that. We don't preach works. We don't preach that stuff because we want to be careful that they understand salvation's by grace through faith alone. That's it. But we can't leave up the other part. Just because some other false doctrine in town gets works wrong doesn't mean that we abandon the truth about works. And there are too many Baptists in this world today that are not living for Jesus because they don't think they have to. It's not going to save me, so why do it? It's not going to save you, but you should do it because you are saved. Amen. We want to live for him who died for us and rose again. I want to give my life to him. I want to give him my time and my talents and my treasure and this temple that he has saved. I want to give it all back to him because of what he's done for me, and not out of fear and not out of obligation, but out of love and gratitude, thankfulness that he died for me and rose again. When you consider all that Christ has done for you, how can you not want to live for him? I'm asking you this morning to look in your heart. When you consider the cross, how does it not compel you to serve? When you look to Calvary, when you look at our suffering Savior, how does it not move you to live for him? How can we continue to sit in the pew and do nothing for Christ? How can we not take the gospel to our neighbors and our family and our friend? How can we not pray? How can we not study? How can we not give? How can we not serve? How can we not love others in his name? How can we not do good for his glory? How can we continue to not serve him when he gave everything for us? How? I want you to look in your heart today and answer the question, how can I continue to do nothing for him when he gave everything for me? When are we going to wake up? It's time, high time, to awake out of sleep. It's high time to put off the works of darkness and to put on the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the day is far spent. And the night is at hand. Our opportunities to serve and live for Christ in the church are going by faster and faster, it seems, every day. Amen. I was talking to somebody at camp, and some of the guys that go to Bog Springs, we went to Bog Springs Church Camp the first week of June. And I'm going to tell you, it feels like it's just been a blink. I'm like, where did the summer go? Because we start the summer with camp at Bog, and we end the summer with team camp. And you go, where did it go? And I said, it seems like every year it goes faster and faster. And they said, I feel the same way. I'm telling you, friends, our time is limited, and it's slipping through our fingers. And if we don't start stewarding our time, redeeming the time, we're going to waste it. If we don't start stewarding our talents and abilities that God has given us in his service, we're going to waste them. In the parable of the talents, he gave one 5 and one 2 and one 1. And the one that had 5, he traded and he worked and he served and he was faithful and diligent and he doubled it. That's huge. That's awesome. And the one that had two, he invested and he traded and he was diligent in his business and he doubled it. And the one that had one, man, he knew his Lord was a hard man, so he hid it so he could get back what he gave him. And the Lord wasn't pleased with that. He didn't say, oh, good job. Thanks for not losing it. He called him wicked and he called him slothful. And he told his other servants to cast him out into outer darkness. Friends, this is serious business. God has blessed you with talents. He's blessed you with abilities. And we ought to be using those things for the glory of God. It's not okay for you to sit and do nothing for Christ. It's not okay. And this morning you may say, well, Pastor, I want to serve. I just don't know what to do. I want to help you figure out what God wants you to do. But I can't help you if you don't come to me. But I want to tell you something. It's really, that's the practical part of it, that you would come to me and we would pray about it and we would look at what needs to be done and find a place of service. That's practical. But before we could ever get there, you're going to have to get on your face before God. Number one, you're going to have to repent for not serving like you should. And number two, you're going to have to surrender and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm tired of people telling God what they're going to do. Young men surrender to different ministries a lot of time at camp, and I praise God for it. But a lot of times they're telling God what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. Friends, that's not going to work. We have to surrender. I didn't get much right in my life, but I got this right. I believe I got this right. When God called me into the ministry, I didn't know what he wanted me to do, and I'm glad I didn't, because all I could say to God was, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever it is, by your grace, I'll do it. Whatever it is. I don't know where you want me to go. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'll do it. If you'll help me, I'll do it. And that's where all of us need to come to today. I'm sorry I haven't served like I should. And God, by your grace, I'll do whatever you've called me to do. Stop with the excuses. You're not too old. You're not too old. Stop with the excuses. You're not too young. You're not too young. Stop with the excuses. You're not too busy. Stop with the excuses and surrender. This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And as we stand together, our musicians come. I beseech you. This morning my heart to you is the same as Paul's was to the Romans. I beseech you, I beg of you today, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God is calling you. Will you surrender to him? But let me say, it doesn't matter if you're not saved. It doesn't matter if you're not obedient in baptism and serving in the local church. It doesn't matter until we're obedient and what we know is right. We'll never get to the next step. I plead with you, trust Christ as your Savior today. I plead with you, if you're saved, follow him in baptism, serve him in the church. I plead with you, if you've not been serving Christ like you should, get on your face before God this morning. The altar is open for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. And he is ready to forgive you. And he is ready to enable you to do the work of the ministry. He's ready. He's waiting. Will you be obedient today while we sing?
Okay, 5:30.